Hi everybody, and this is the final part in the series we've been looking at called The Condition of the Human Heart, and this is part 9. And in this final series that we've been looking at, there's been a number of things that we've covered from understanding in the heart, the condition of the heart. We need to guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We talked about in the first series that the heart, when we are born, is desperately sick. It's deceitful. And I've been taking us through a journey and a process of going from this deceitful, desperately sick heart to being given a brand new heart through the power of God, and then literally being given the life that would go into that heart, that we would come into the fullness of life in Christ, where we have a heart that is wholehearted in its devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart that abides in Christ, and where the promised life is just being poured into more and more and more and more. And so in part 9, we're going to look at the life the heart can know and experience. To know this life is to lay hold of this life. And to not lay hold of this life we've been created for, would just be an absolute shame, because it's the reason why Jesus gave his life, not just to be a Christian, but to become Christ-like in every facet, nature, character, and in the way we live our lives. And so there are these eternal qualities, these values, these attributes, this culture of the heart that is and becoming more and more Christ-like in nature, character, and power. And I want to read you some of these scriptures that speak to the inner life that we can know within our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, it's not arrogant, it does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails to love. Those are the divine qualities, the attributes, the culture of love. And that is the kind of heart that we are to have, with those kind of qualities, those values within our very heart. So out of our heart come those things. What about Galatians 5, 22 to 24? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And we've just looked at the attributes of what love is: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such these things there is no law. We can look at Matthew 5, 3 to 12 in relation to the being attitudes. And we know with each of the attitudes there is a blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first being attitude of the heart. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The second attitude within the heart. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Christ. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So those are those 9 beatitudes of the heart and 9 blessings that come with those beatitudes. 2 Peter 1, 4-8. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith. Listen to these qualities. Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, not forms of godliness, but godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, where? In your heart, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the true knowledge of God, then these attributes, they will be growing. They'll be forever increasing within you, rendering you neither useless nor unfruitful in this reality of knowing the Father. What about Ephesians 6:24? Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Once again, a heart that loves the Lord with an incorruptible love, which is the 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 kind of love, which is the love of heaven, the eternal love. This will be in our lives, and this is the evidence of our abiding. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Once again, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, in this thing called believing, carrying a living conviction within our heart through revelation, so we know this life, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abounding in hope, not through your own strength or wishful thinking or imagination, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. All these scriptures testify of the eternal life which the Church of Jesus Christ can know, experience, and having be formed within her today. She is to have tasted of this life, so she knows that the Lord is good and he is truthful. She is to be living from this life and having it continuously birthed within her through God's power. So she, the bride, doesn't consider her adequacy coming from herself, but from her Lord Jesus Christ. This is a massive point, that everything that we come into through being his co-heir, his co-laborer, is through the power of God, not from our own abilities, intellect, strengths, nothing that we can produce. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, this is Paul, but we have this treasure, this glory, this life within us of Christ in earthen vessels, in this fleshly body. Paul is saying we have this glory, we have this eternal life being formed in us, so that the passing greatness, the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, not from ourselves. Now, because of this, because we have this life in us through God's power, not from ourselves, listen to how he lived. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not despairing. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. And we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. This is what having this eternal life in your heart does. It's able to go through this kind of suffering, this kind of life, and stand strong and resist and shine the love and the light and the life of Christ into a dark earth, to which earth just cannot understand how. What about Ephesians 1:18-20? I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, made alive, so that you will know what is the hope of God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe, who have a living conviction. These are in accordance, those three things, with the working of the strength of God's might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. This resurrected power that takes someone out of death and into life and makes those three realities become their living reality within them. Wow, these are incredible promises. When we have been raised in the power that rose Jesus from the grave, we will come into this life called eternal life now. If we abide in his grace, which produces this life we read about here, this is the absolute promise of God that we can build our lives upon without any second guessing or doubt. It is his absolute promise to us as his sons in Christ Jesus. It truly is remarkable, incredible. Matthew 13:11-12, Jesus answered, "To you, disciples, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has to him, more shall be given. To whoever has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance." There is an abundance of life we are to know within us, which I've described in the attributes and the values of love, the being attitudes, this ability to have this living hope, which is joy and peace within you. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. Even what he has shall be taken away, whatever he thinks he has, for the one that's not in this eternal life and the process of being built. You can be justified by blood and have no reality for this life that we're talking about deep within your very being. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 says, "Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Wow. Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries that we've been granted to know. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So the only question now that we're left with is, do we believe that this life we can know, experience, and live from now, today, and tomorrow, and going forward, as opposed to receiving it when we get to heaven? Do you believe this? This isn't a heaven reality. It's a now reality. Because God didn't just come to take people from earth to heaven. He came to get heaven in those of earth. Those in a vessel called the flesh, filled with this knowledge, this life, this glory, this light, this life called eternal life now. That is the promise for you and I as his people. So maybe we start with that question and let the Spirit lead. Do we actually believe we can know this life now? Not mentally and verbally agree. Do we carry a living conviction that is changing us and directing us into his presence now? So I want to leave that with you and maybe ponder those things along with, why is this an eternal life and not an earthly life we're talking about? What is it like to have this eternal life being formed in you? Share that. How has having this eternal life in you empowered you to live like Christ and walk in the manner in which you walked? What are you recognizing about your life through this resource? And what is the Spirit saying to you that you might need to step into in regards to this acknowledgement? So this is the final part, part 9 in the condition of the human heart. I pray that the Father is revealing all things and enlightening your heart so you're able to walk in the manner in which he walked because of receiving his life, his literal life, his blood, and his body, which is the true food and the true drink. In Jesus' name, take care.